Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show.
Wake up.
This is a unique headline. Man chokes woman while stealing her cash, returns to threaten her with machete, according to the New Orleans Police Department. This happened on Sunday. A man attacked a woman in her Marigny home, choking and punching her before leaving, only to return hours later with a machete. The incident began about 4 in the afternoon on Sunday when the man choked and punched the 34-year-old woman, described as one of his acquaintances. This happened in her home right on North Rampart Street. And while he was choking her, he took her cash and then he left. But then he started texting her. Now remember, look, we talk about crime a lot on this show. There's all kinds of different crime. This guy knew this woman. This woman knew this man. She knew him so well that she let him in her home in the Marigny. And what does he do? He chokes her, takes her money, and leaves. And if you think that's enough, and you think that's where the story would end, because in most situations like that, that's where the story would end. Oh, no. He starts texting her.
That's a fine, how do you do?
And then he returns about 6 hours later on Sunday night at 10 p.m. That's when he kicked in her door. And then he enters her home armed with a machete. At that point, the victim was able to persuade him to leave. Thank God. Police did not identify the man. But they're looking for him. Today's Wednesday. This happened on Sunday night. So if you see anybody walking around the Marigny with a machete.
Can you be more specific? I mean, really?
Well, Brewster, when we do talk about crime, I can understand some of this, but it's socioeconomic. You need money, whatever the case may be. It's all wrong, but these two were acquaintances. They were in her home hanging out. And then all of a sudden he starts choking her and stealing her money. And then he texts her. And then he comes back, goes in the house on Sunday night with a machete. And then all of a sudden she persuaded him to leave. This is almost like two friends who know each other. And
you've never been married, have you?
Well, not yet. I've few long-term relationships, but stop short of.
Although you have no idea.
Well, it's a goal.
I'm just answering your question.
So
I believe the question was something along the lines of, how could this happen? You've never been married, have you?
All right, so you're just. I know you're not saying anything, but
I'm asking for a friend.
Gordon, again, according to the police report I got here, he is described as an acquaintance. And so, she's out some cash, but I'm glad that she's okay. But again, how many people returned to the scene of a crime, too, where they just committed a crime? I mean, 6 hours ago, He choked her, he beat her, and he robbed her, and then he comes back 6 hours later. And I know here in New Orleans, with our and we know if you get in a fender bender, it could take 12 hours for a cop to show up. So maybe this guy knows the situation with the New Orleans police, that we are undermanned, and if you do call, chances are it's gonna take a while.
Well, I tell you what will speed up. You mentioned it might take 12 hours in Orleans Parish if you're involved in a fender bender. That's to get an officer out to document the accident and everything. I have a tip for you. If you can at all have your vehicle land, have one of the two vehicles involved or more, land illegally in a parking space, you'll get a meter made there immediately.
If we could only plan our fender benders like that, if we could only plan our accidents like that, because you're 100% right. Not only are the meter maids much faster than the police in this town.
Right, but they eat their young.
They're usually there right as the meter goes off. It's almost as if they have something in their brains, like they know I got to get to this particular street corner because I know this person's meter is going to go off in about 90 seconds.
Right, it's uncanny.
Yeah, that's when I remember when all the crime cameras were installed in the city of New Orleans. This is going back now. This is going back when Ray Nagin was mayor. This is when it started, when Booby was our mayor. And they put up a bunch of the crime cameras at the same time. They put up a bunch of the red light cameras.
Is he out of jail yet?
No, he's not even close. He still has a few more years. As a matter of fact, I hear last night he won a big game of dominoes for a bunch of smokes. But I remember when they installed a bunch of the crime cameras, and they installed them around the same time that they installed the red light cameras.
I'm a vagina-friendly mayor.
And there were some crimes committed, and they said, well, look, we got the camera right there. And they'd go to the camera, and the camera wasn't working properly. We don't have anything. The camera wasn't working. If this camera was working properly, boy, oh, boy, we would know exactly who this person we would see. And it happened time and time again where the crime cameras weren't working, but not once ever did the red light camera not work. Not once. How could the crime cameras not work, but the red light cameras never not worked? Couldn't they switch those two up every once in a while?
A chocolate New Orleans.
He still has a few years left. He has at least another 4 years left on his sentence. Mm-mm. Yeah, everybody else who went to prison around him, they're all out now because they all cooperated. You know, it was almost like O.J. Nagin was like O.J. because when O.J. robbed his memorabilia from the guy in the casino hotel room, everybody around O.J., they all got a light sentence because they cooperated.
Right.
O.J. fought it, and he stayed for a long time. So, anyways, I'm glad this woman's okay, but you don't see this headline very often. Man chokes woman while stealing her cash, returns to threaten her with machete. Returning to the scene of the crime. So hopefully they find that perp.
You're going to be watching this story.
Yes.
You should keep a sharp eye on this story.
My wandering eye, my lazy eye, here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. See, he was in town for a couple of nights. They played last night, and they're playing again tonight in the city of New Orleans. At one time, you would have to say, for a few minutes, they were one of the biggest bands in the world, if not the biggest band in the world. Duran Duran.
Yes.
They're playing. Yes. Last night, they played the brand new venue at Harrah's. It's called the Fillmore. How many people does that hold? Kat was in there. They had a party in there. I think it holds about 800, 900 people.
They had a doings, as we say, for really important radio people, and Kat was there.
Yeah. I think she said it holds about 800 people, something like that.
Now, I have a friend who posted, maybe you have some insight on this, I don't know. Apparently, tickets said the doors open at 7 o'clock, And she posted at 9:30. They were still waiting to see the show.
Oh, don't tell me Simon Le Bon was pulling an Axl Rose.
I don't want to speculate. Something, okay. Yeah, I don't.
That kind of sucks. If you're there for 2.5 hours, still waiting for them to get on.
On a weeknight, yeah.
But I brought this up for a couple of reasons. It's something that they're, because when I was in high school in the 80s, they were immense. That's when her name was Rio. They were hungry like wolves. That's when that stuff was big. I mean, their timing with MTV was perfect. I mean, you had some bands that MTV catapulted, and you had some bands that MTV killed. The bands that they killed were bands that didn't have good-looking guys in them.
Right.
Bands like 38 Special. I could start naming bands that MTV killed. But then there were bands, because they had guys evidently that were easy on the eyes for girls, that MTV just catapulted into the stratosphere. And Duran Duran's one of those bands.
I always looked at that era of MTV in its nascent years as a speeding train, and some could catch up and ride, and others not too much.
Yeah, video either killed the radio star, or it shot them into a new level of hugeness.
Because there was a time where when I got out of school as a youngster, before teenage years, or maybe right around the teenage years, I wanted to get home and see cartoons. And young girls of the same age at that time, they wanted to get home and see The Police.
Oh,
and Duran Duran and these great-looking bleach blonde men.
And MTV changed everything. And we've said it before, Brewster. I remember going to different friends' house before I had cable, because when they were installing cable television in the 80s, in the early 80s, when I was a kid, one friend would have it first in one part of town, and then like a couple of weeks later, another friend would have it in another part of town, but we would go over to, because we never saw these people. You had their albums, you had their cassettes. And you're like, well, that's what they look like if there's a picture of the band on the album or the cassette. But it's not like now where every music artist is oversaturated, where you see them everywhere.
Right.
You never saw them unless again, their picture was on their album or cassette tape, or they came to your town in a concert and you could go see them. MTV changed all that. We could see these people now. And you'd go to friends' houses and watch videos. And I remember when our family got cable, it was like, okay, this week, come to my house. We just got cable. We can watch MTV for, you know, 12 hours straight. It was wild. Well, Duran Duran, their timing, MTV just shot them to stardom. And then the other reason I brought them up, because they still have, I know, at least three, if not more, original members. They still have their original singer, they have their original guitar player, John Taylor, and they have their original keyboard player, the little guy. And I don't know about the rest of them, the drummer and the bass player, I don't know. But I know they have three of their original guys. I brought them up because one of my most fortunate experiences in my radio career happened, and they were a side note to it.
Oh, I hit it again.
I'm trying to think exactly the year. It was around 2000. It was around the year 2000, maybe 1999.
By the way, according to Wikipedia, Roger Taylor, not...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Roger Taylor from Queen. And Nick Rhodes are still in the band. I have Simon Le Bon,
yeah,
Dominic Brown, John Taylor, Roger Taylor, and Nick Rhodes.
So that's most of them. That's most. They're still there. It was around 1999 or 2000, because they had been broken up for a while, and they decided to get back together And their record company threw a party for them getting back together. They threw a party at the Playboy Mansion. And I was the music director of WAAF at the time.
Yeah, come on.
Up in Boston. And
you have to have computer skills to do that. Come on. We don't believe that.
Well, I could push enter and backspace. So
just put on Stairway to Heaven to hell with it.
So even though our radio station didn't play them, I was friends with the record company guys. And the guy calls me up. He's like, hey, how would you like to go hang out at the Playboy Mansion and see Duran Duran? I said, did you say something about a Playboy Mansion? I didn't hear anything you said after the Playboy Mansion.
Right.
And so myself, along with another guy I worked with, Kramer, we got on an airplane.
The rabbi?
Yeah, Rabbi Soul Crusher.
Yes.
We got on an airplane, and we flew from Boston to Los Angeles to hang out with, to go to a party with a couple friends from the record company at the Playboy Mansion to go see Duran Duran. And I'll never forget, because I had seen the Playboy Mansion in magazines and on television a lot of times. I had been to Los Angeles before, and I don't want to say stalked, but we were outside the front gates. We never got in. But here I am in a limousine, and the door opens to the driveway to the Playboy Mansion. And we pull in, and the driveway's fairly long, and then you go to the right, and then when you go to the right, you look to your right, and there's the grotto. Right. There's the famous grotto. You know how much sex was done in that grotto?
I don't even want to. I just want to, like,
and then the
like,
limo,
ugh, like scrape it off of me just hearing the story.
And then the limo pulled around to the mansion. Our doors open. We get out.
And out walks, what was the dog's name? Spuds McKenzie, the Bud Light dog?
No, I didn't see him.
Oh.
But then the door opens, and the doors to the limo open. We get out, and there we are. There's the Playboy Mansion in front of me. And then in the backyard to the right, they had a huge tent, and the stage was set up in there.
Right.
And but I didn't go towards the tent. I went to go in the mansion, and they only let us in one room because I wanted to go downstairs to the game room. I wanted to maybe see if James Caan was hanging out there that night, you know, Jimmy. You know, the people that just hung out at the Playboy Mansion.
The problem was when they saw you, security said, well, who's this guy with the suitcase in his hand? You're not moving in. It's just a one-time visit.
But they only let us go in one small room downstairs, and then they had the rest of it taped off, and they're like, no, you got to go hang out in the backyard in the tent. And then here's the other thing. Now, they had some of the biggest radio programmers from all over the country there to see this comeback by Duran Duran. And they start playing under the tent, and they're playing their hits, and hardly anybody is paying any attention to them. And I thought about it back then. I'm saying, you know, a few years ago, this band was one of the biggest bands in the world. I mean, now look, you've got some of the most important radio programmers and me.
And you.
Hanging around there, and nobody's even watching them. Well, I walked behind the tent, Brewster, to walk around the backyard, and I learned something new that night. He had a big zoo back there. He had animals in cages, Hefner, including monkeys.
Wait. I think you walked too far. I think you wound up in Neverland. Michael Jackson's place.
No,
that's the zoo.
He actually at the Playboy Mansion when I was there, they had a bunch of monkeys and such in cages, and I was playing with the monkeys, and they said they loved it there. Not the monkeys, but the people who you know were from the work the grounds, the people that were familiar.
If you're at the Playboy Mansion, you're walking the grounds, and you see a two-headed unicorn, you've gone too far. You're in Jacko's place.
But I've always said that was one of the biggest highlights of my radio career, being able to do that. I don't think I watched one or two Duran Duran songs that night.
Really?
I just was hanging around the outskirts of the mansion and over by the grotto, and they let us in. I could see the stairs where Hefner comes down, but I didn't see him that night. But we did see a few Playboy bunnies.
Hmm.
And it was just so incredible to be there. And they're like, oh, yeah, Duran Duran's playing underneath the tent in the backyard. And I guess they had a fairly successful comeback because they're still around. And, I mean, like you just met almost all the original members.
Exit question. Favorite Duran Duran song? Go.
Probably, I'm not a big fan. I would say probably Her Name is Rio.
You're wrong. The correct answer is Skin Trade from Notorious. This was probably their best video, too.
You know, but
a little more obscure.
they were one of those groups who I really didn't like, but when I was in high school, they were always playing at parties because the girls loved them. And, you know, if you wanted to hang out with some of the best-looking girls in high school, you had to put up with some listening to some Duran Duran.
This song's not bad, though.
They have the song Girls on Film. Now we don't even have film anymore. We have digital digital photos.
Just shut up. I'm trying to listen to this. All right, that's enough.
Wow, so they're playing. They played last night, and they're playing again tonight. Both shows are sold out. The Fillmore didn't hold that many people, but I think it's pretty cool that it just brought back a lot of memories just hearing that they, because I don't live far from Harris, and they're like, wow, Duran Duran's playing right near me again, just like at the Playboy Mansion. So. I still don't know if that was a better time that or when I did three radio shows from Abbey Road Studios on the 30th anniversary of the Abbey Road album. That was 1999.
We don't have time for that story.
No, but those were. I'm trying to figure out which I don't. You know, that's like saying who's better, LeBron James or Michael Jordan.
They really don't have time for that. They were both great times.
And hopefully the folks at Bayou can maybe give me a third great radio memory in my career, too. I mean, coming in here and sitting with you in a little tiny room every morning, it's right up there.
No, it's up there.
All right. Coming up next on the show, wait till you hear this story. Another bad story for the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. If you knew what she was after. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Did you see yesterday President Donald Trump signed a directive to establish the United States Space Force? My question is, at the Space Force Academy, will their students be called space cadets? They have a proposed slogan for the United States Space Force as well, the new military branch. It's called Mars Awaits, not to be confused with an adult film I saw, well, that I heard about not that long ago, called Uranus Awaits. A little bit different there. All right, coming up on the show, we're going to tell you about the problems, the latest problems at the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board. And if I wasn't reading this in print, in a legitimate news source, I wouldn't believe that this is true. It's coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, Ann Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment,
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
February 20th.
Happy National Cherry Pie Day. We've had this discussion before. I would say my top pies are, one, you can't get around here. It's a central Indiana thing. A Wick's sugar cream pie. The closest thing would be like a sweet custard pie. Dutch apple, or like an apple with the crumbled top on that. But, man, what is to not love about cherry pie?
But talking about local pies, when is Hubrig's ever going to come back? Remember the plant burned down? It was the best smelling fire that I've ever smelt in my life.
Well, you see posts that say they're coming back. Hubrig Pie's coming back. And then you look at it, and it's from like 7 years ago.
Yeah, it kind of stinks.
People just keep sharing that. It's also Happy National... What is it? Happy National Love Your Pet Day. So if you have a pet, love it.
February 20th. Wow. It was today in 1985.
Why today doesn't suck.
The country of Ireland finally allows the sale of contraceptives. All contraceptives, not just rubbers. In a highly controversial vote on February 20th, 1985, the Irish government defies the powerful Catholic Church and approves the sale of contraceptives. They were illegal, black market until then. I have an Irish friend named Phil, and I remember Phil, did you get the rubbers? Because before today, in 1985, complete black market. You had to go other places to get protected. They didn't want you doing that.
Why are you interested in whether or not Phil has rubbers?
Well,
I retract the question. I don't want to know the answer.
No, I just remember that was a big day in 1985 when all of a sudden contraception. But think about it. You're breaking the law before that. If you were using that to do sex.
And you were in Ireland.
Well, still. Like people
didn't
like. It was
a big day for you.
Well, whether it's here, Ireland, Brewster, I mean, contraception shouldn't be a pretty big thing.
You're in it. Go ahead and get yourself out. Go ahead.
Phil, I got the rubbers. February 20th.
You're on your own.
Today in 1986.
Why today doesn't suck.
1 year after that, they were so excited over there in Europe that the shuttle plans were announced. You can go legally buy rubbers and get on the shuttle. And that's the channel tunnel between Britain and France. They had been thinking about doing that for over 100 years. I mean, Napoleon drew up blueprints for that in 1802. But it didn't come to fruition until 1986. And when I was over there, I didn't ride it. I wanted to ride it, but hopefully if I ever get back over there, I want to ride it. But the channel's pretty cool.
You were out of rubbers because...
Big day. February 20th.
I meant like galoshes, rubbers, your boots. What did you think I meant? Get your mind out of the gutter.
February 20th. It was today in 1998.
Why today doesn't suck.
Tara Lipinski becomes the youngest Olympic figure skating gold medalist ever. She was only 15 years old, the young American. Now she hosts shows with that flamboyantly gay skater. She hosts things with him. What's his name? Weir?
Johnny Weir?
Yeah, she hosts shows with him. But yeah, she today in 1998 never has a 15-year-old won the Olympic gold medal for figure skating.
Happy heavenly birthdays, all born on this date. In 1946.
Why today doesn't suck.
The late Jay Giles in 1950.
Why today doesn't suck.
Happy heavenly birthday, we guess, to Walter Becker, co-founder of Steely Dan, and born on this date in 1967. Happy heavenly, I guess, birthday to...
Why today doesn't suck.
Kurt Cobain. Kurt Cobain would be 52 today.
How about that? I just saw a video on YouTube where someone They went and they spent 2 days how Kurt Cobain spent the last 2 or 3 days of his life. They went to the place where he bought heroin in Seattle. They went to the hotel room that he rented, that he would rent regularly. And the guy actually stayed in the hotel room, and he said he felt weird things in the hotel room.
Hmm.
And he went to the restaurant, and he went. It was pretty wild.
It was on this date, speaking of Seattle, February 20th, 1960.
Why today doesn't suck.
Jimi Hendrix makes his first stage appearance in Seattle with his band, the Rocking Kings, at the National Guard Armory. We'll see if we can find a poster for that. Hendrix at the National Guard Armory. That's huge. It was on this date, February 20th, 1982.
Why today doesn't suck.
His kids are still married. Pat Benatar marries her guitarist, Neil Giraldo, on the island, the Hawaiian island of Maui. And again, they're still together to this day.
Good thing she kept her first husband, her ex-husband's stage name.
Yes.
Because her first husband's last name was Benatar. Her name was like...
Giraldo.
Her real name is like 27 syllables, and it ends in ski.
Hmm. Okay.
Couple of birthdays more.
Couple of more birthdays?
Yeah. I can't believe this guy's still alive. Has he been seen in public in the last decade? Happy birthday to Sidney Poitier. He's the first black actor. He's the first black actor to ever win the Academy Award for the best lead actor. And if I told you I enjoy Turner classic movies. Usually most of his movies are pretty good. The movies that he was in the 50s and the 60s and the... I can't believe he's still alive, though.
Right. He's 92 today.
How about that? And, hey, it was today in 1792.
Why today doesn't suck.
President George Washington signed an act creating the United States Post Office. And that same day, he mailed a letter. And it eventually got to where it was going.
Last Tuesday, I think.
Yeah.
It showed up.
And on this day in 1974.
Why today doesn't suck.
It was Sonny Bono's birthday, but the reason I'm bringing this up, because he's dead and why would I bring him up? Well, his wife at the time, Cher, filed for divorce on his birthday today in 1974.
That's pretty rough.
Well.
That's a little harsh.
Well, you know, she just said she doesn't think she's going to live that much longer. So, boy, Sonny, he thought he escaped her once.
That's impossible. Plastic probably lives forever.
Yeah, how about that? Got a couple more.
How about that?
Yeah. Oh, this is awful. But I got to mention it because it shouldn't be forgotten. Today in 2003.
Why today doesn't suck.
Because I was up there. I remember this. I was on the radio there. This is when Great White played a club in Rhode Island, and it burnt down, and a lot of people died, and they were, the way they were dead, they were just trapped in the door. Their bodies were stacked up like firewood. So they couldn't get out. And the place was called The Station. It was in West Warwick, Rhode Island. And the guy who owned the club went to jail for that. And he was a news guy. He was an anchor on a Boston affiliate up there. His name was Jeff Dedarian, and him and his brother owned that club. And boy, just what a horrible night. And you know, some people made fun of them. Because Great White, by then, 2003, they weren't a big act anymore.
Right.
And they were playing small clubs. And, you know, people kind of laughed at the 80s. And people were like, hey, look at all you're going to see a has-been band. You know, I mean, it was really the way people were talking about it. It was really, I was like, really? Shut up. It doesn't matter what kind of music it was. Look at how many people died and lost their lives.
Right.
100 people.
But you said you're not offended by anything, and you sounded like you're offended by that, so.
Well, I've always said pretty much nothing offended me, but anyone who's making fun of 100 people in the prime of their lives who died trying to escape a fire, and they're making fun of them because of the band that they went to see,
right.
It's like, come on, really? And I want to finish on something better than that. Today in 1997.
Why today doesn't suck.
If you turned on a television show on NBC in primetime, you would have seen Kramer adopt a highway. Today was the day he adopted a highway on the TV sitcom Seinfeld. That show was titled The Pothole.
And, I remember that.
Yeah, and I thought it was a good one.
Say it with me. How about that? That's a segment that we call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All right, coming up on the show. We have an update on a story, and now this bothers me. We're going to tell you about a big LGBT group who has just severed links with one of their icons, and we're going to tell you why, and I could not disagree with this more. Stay tuned for this coming up on Bayou 95.7. Yeah! Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Yesterday on the show, we talked about that 24-year-old woman from Alabama who joined ISIS, and she spewed as much as she could on social media about how people need to kill as many Americans as possible. If you don't have a bomb, use a gun. If you don't have a gun, use a car. You just kill as many. And she's over there in Syria, and she's living in a tent. And I believe her first two husbands, because she married a guy, and they went over there. And I think her first two husbands have been killed because they're part of ISIS.
Well, now she's saying she wants to come home to Alabama. And I say, no, don't let her home. There are some people that say, let her come home. If they do let her come home, because she has a kid now, she's living in a tent, there's bombs going off all around them, and she left Hoover, Alabama to go over there. And if they do bring her back, if they let her come back, they have to put her in prison for several years before they let her out. I mean, how else could they let this woman, who for the last couple of years wanted to kill as many Americans as possible, be a jihadist, and now all of a sudden she's saying she's changing her mind? No. But that 24-year-old Alabama woman said she joined ISIS because she was lonely and she wanted someone to love her. And she felt there was something really creepy about eHarmony. Hey, we forgot one thing during Why Today Doesn't Suck. And so this would be bonus suck. Bonus suck. Today, in 1988, nearly 17 years after his death, Louis Armstrong had a Billboard hit. The New Orleans icon. His song, What a Wonderful World, pops in at number 67 today in 1988. Again, about 17 years after he died. And I believe it might have been in a movie that came out, but that was a pretty cool story that even in 1988, Louis Armstrong was still on the charts. All right, coming up next. We talked about this on the show yesterday, how, and we have an update on a story we talked about, and I don't agree with this. A big LGBT group just disassociated itself with one of its icons, and I couldn't disagree more, and we'll explain next on Bayou 95.7.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So we just mentioned in a bonus Why Today Doesn't Suck, bonus suck, that today in 1988, New Orleans icon Louis Armstrong, 17 years after his death, had a song, What a Wonderful World, that was popped up on the Billboard charts. And I mentioned that it was probably because it was on a movie soundtrack. And so one more bonus suck. That movie soundtrack was for the movie Good Morning Vietnam. That's where that song was used. And that's why Louis Armstrong's song, What a Wonderful World, popped up on the Billboard charts 17 years after he died. Pretty cool.
Thank you, Casey.
And now for a long-distance request. So yesterday on the show, we talked about this for a little bit. And now it's an even bigger story. A big LGBT group. It's a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered group. I don't have time for the Q's and the I's and the other things. We're running out of time here. They just made a big announcement where they severed their ties, severed their links with an icon. Who's that icon? Former number one tennis player in the world, Martina Navratilova. And she has always been a huge proponent for the LGBT community because Martina is an L. Well, the reason why
this LGBT group severed ties with her is because she had the audacity to say, if there's a transgendered woman, if a man is transgendered and becomes a woman, that transgender woman has no business competing in sporting events with born women. That's why the big LGBT group severed ties with Martina Navratilova. Can you believe that? She's 100% right. Like we said on the show yesterday, in the state of Texas, for the last couple of years, there is a transgendered high school girl, meaning born a boy, now living as a girl. And that transgendered girl is the Texas state champion in girls wrestling, in women's wrestling. So she's beating all of these born girls in high school wrestling. Of course she's beating them because she was born a he. And he's are stronger than she's. And look, I have no issue with transgenders. I have said this on the show before. There are many transgendered women who are much better looking women than many born women. I have no issue with LGBT. I think we all know someone who knows someone who's a relative, a friend who happens to be fit in one of those groups. Although I don't know how the bees get involved in that group. They're the bisexuals. They're doing sex with everybody. But anyways, Martina Navratilova is 100% right. You can't have transgendered women competing in sporting events with born women. That's not fair to the born women. It's simply not fair because inside of that transgender woman, still male stuff. And when it comes to sports, when it comes to wrestling and running and throwing and doing anything athletic, I'm not being sexist by saying men have an advantage. If you were born a man, you have an advantage. And this particular LGBT group, they're a United States-based LGBT group. And they've cut all of its links. And the group is called LGBT Sports People. And they have just cut all of their links with tennis legend Martina Navratilova because of what she just what I just told you she said. What she said was 100% right. Can you imagine how many, now look, men aren't going to become women so they can become world champion female athletes. That's not why men become women, or vice versa, whatever the case may be. But there are some, and I gave you the example of what's happening in high school wrestling in Texas, that's just not fair. It's not fair to the girls. It's not fair to the born girls to have someone who was born male, they are now living as a female, but now they're competing in female sports? That's wrong. And how the LGBT sports people group of the United States of America don't understand that, they're wrong. They're 100% wrong. And like I said, on this show, Brewster and me and on this radio station here at Bayou, hey, you be who you want to be. You love who you want to love, whatever the case may be. But this is nuts. This is insane. For this group to sever ties with an icon in the homosexual and the LGBT community, they are 100% wrong. And I can't imagine anybody from any political side, I can't imagine anybody from any group who would disagree with Martina Navratilova. And who would disagree with me on this? I can't imagine someone would think it's okay for a male-to-female transgender to compete in sporting events and athletic events against born females. That is wrong. And it needs to stop. It's not fair for the born women. Martina Navratilova won 18 Grand Slam events in her tennis career. One of the greatest female tennis players of all time. I told you yesterday when we talked about this, when I was a kid, we would watch the matches. And she was always the villain because the matches that we would always watch, my family and distant family and friends from the neighborhood, we would always watch it if it was Wimbledon, the U.S. Open, and Martina Navratilova was playing Chris Everett. And we would, because we were American, we would always root for Chris Everett. And I mentioned something that one of my uncles used to say, you know, I hope Chris Everett beats that dude back in the day, you know, and it was a different time back in the early 80s. It was a different time. But this group, the LGBT sports people of America, should be ashamed of themselves. Ashamed of themselves for cutting all their ties with an icon in their community because she had the audacity to say transgendered women should not be playing in sporting events against born women because it's cheating. She's 100% right. And for the LGBT sports people group to not know this, come on. Come on. You've come a long way, LGBT. Come a long way.
You've come a long way, baby.
Yeah, this is going to set you back for doing something like this to one of your icons just because she said something that's 100% true. It's 100% a fact. And I would hope that other LGBT groups will now stand up and say, wait a minute, we agree with Martina Navratilova. Because she's 100% right. That's how I feel about it. And she used the words insane, and she used the words cheating. Maybe they don't like those words. Maybe those words have been used towards that group or whatever the case may be in the past. But when it comes to sports competitions, whether it's high school, whether it's professional, and it doesn't matter what sport, you cannot have transgendered women competing against born women. It's not fair. It's not fair to the born women. And that's that. All right, coming up on the show. There are some states that want to lower their voting age to 16. No! Please, no! I don't even think 18-year-olds know what they're voting for. They haven't even moved out of their houses yet. Stay tuned for that report coming up. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Boy, our new airport is going to be open pretty soon. But last year, Armstrong Airport set another passenger record. It just keeps going up and up and up. In its last full year operating out of its existing terminal, Louis Armstrong International Airport once again posted record-breaking passenger numbers last year in 2018. Take a guess how many people passed through that facility.
In all of 2018?
Yeah.
I'm afraid I'm going to be way too high. I'm either going to be way too high or way too low. 2.5 million?
Oh, you're way too low.
I see 10 million.
13.1 million travelers. Well, usually we always estimate about 10 or 11 million people visit New Orleans every year. We're a world-class city. That's something.
Now we're getting a world-class airport terminal, too.
So they say 13.1 million travelers passed through Armstrong Airport in 2018. That was up from 2017. That was up from 20. As a matter of fact, that was a 9.3% increase in 2018 over the 12 million passed through Louis Armstrong Airport in 2017. So people are still coming here. People, we're a great city. And happy Mardi Gras, as that's upon us. All right, coming up next, they want to lower the voting age in some states to 16. No!
No. I mean, 18-year-olds haven't even moved out of their house yet. Well, we'll tell you why that's a bad idea coming up on Bayou 95.7.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. I've got two issues here that half the country wants to see happen, and the other half of the country, including me, does not want to see happen. They're two political issues. And some states, they want to lower the voting age to 16. And in some states, they are raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. I've got a couple stories here, and I'm going to tell you why I am against both of those things. As far as Florida, as far as the voting age being lowered to 16, Oregon is a state that wants to do that, and there are other states, and again, they're all political lefty states. These ideas most Democrats want to see happen, but they're bad ideas. Why should a 16-year-old who's not even done with high school yet, who has never moved out of his or her house, never had to do anything on their own like pay a bill? Well, maybe at 16 you're getting one of your first jobs, so maybe you can pay for some of your cell phone bill, or maybe you could pay for some of your car insurance. But you're 16. Why should a 16-year-old be voting when the issues that they're voting on, most of them, they have no idea what's going on because they have no experience dealing with the issues? I'll be honest with you. I'm not even sure if 18-year-olds should vote. And I know people say, well, hey, if an 18-year-old can go and join the military and go and fight a war, then they can vote. Yes, I agree with that. But how many 18-year-olds, what percentage of 18-year-olds is that? How many 18-year-olds in this country are joining the military and fighting in wars, especially in the year 2019? What are you talking, maybe 1 or 2% of 18-year-olds? Maybe 3 or 4% in the whole country? Most 18-year-olds, they are just leaving, many 18-year-olds are just leaving their houses for the first time. They're either going to college or they're getting their first job where they're going to have to be responsible for themselves. They're just starting. But for me, voting, I mean, to vote, you should, have to realize, well, I have a salary, and this much amount gets taken out for taxes, and I have rent, or I have a mortgage I have to pay, and I have kids that I have to put through school, and these are the things that most people vote on. So even most 18-year-olds don't know what's going on in the real world for them to make smart decision on voting. You know, the Democrats, the people that want this, they're saying they want this because they say if you go around and you look at high schools and you look at colleges, all of those kids, you know, look at them. They're all, the kids, they hear catchphrases. They hear things like free college, you know, free food. They don't understand it's not really free. Because it's free for them, that doesn't mean it's free for all Americans. Because the adults that go to work every day and that pay taxes, we're the ones who are paying for that free stuff. That's why many young people, most of them, want to vote, because they hear catchphrases. Why do you think Bernie Sanders, the socialist, who just said he's going to run again next year for president, why do you think he did so well in 2018? I mean, if the Democrats didn't fix their own primary for where Hillary Clinton beat Bernie Sanders, Bernie would have beat her. Bernie Sanders would have beat Hillary Clinton if that wasn't rigged. And they say, boy, so many young people believe in Bernie Sanders. We believe in socialism. Well, they believe in free stuff. They believe in free education. But none of it's free. None of it is. You're on your way to work right now. Some of your taxpayer dollars are going to pay for these free things, these free ideas that these people want. So I think it's crazy to lower the voting age to 16. And I have an issue with many 18-year-olds voting, to be honest with you. You got to go out and live your life and be in the real world and pay for things. Support yourself before you vote. That's my opinion. And the other thing, $15 an hour minimum wage, we're starting to see it now. There was a big story in the the New York Times.
That rag.
The New York Post is actually the only right-leaning newspaper up there. But the New York Times, which is, for many years, was our country's newspaper of record. But it is a left newspaper. There's no doubt about it. Because the New York Times were fighting for $15 an hour minimum wage. But I saw this story yesterday in the New York Times, and they're saying, uh-oh. After winning a $15 minimum wage, fast food workers now battle unfair firings. Duh! You didn't see that coming? I could have told you that when you were fighting for the $15 minimum wage. Why would these people lose their jobs? They'll lose them for two reasons off the top of my head. A, the businesses, the fast food places now that are paying these people $15 an hour, they've got to make up that lost revenue from somewhere. So how are they going to make it up? They're going to make it up by doing things like raising their prices on their food and stuff. And they're going to have to fire some of their employees because they can't afford to pay them all if they're paying them $15 an hour minimum wage. But the second reason why people are getting fired at fast food restaurants now that $15 an hour minimum wage is becoming law in a bunch of states is because you're going to have better skilled workers who want those jobs at $15 an hour. Hell, if McDonald's here was paying $15 an hour in New Orleans, you know, I'm done. This show's over at 10. We stay a while after the show, but I have the rest of my afternoon and I have my early evening off. I'd go work for $15 an hour at McDonald's. And I've always hustled at work, no matter what my job was. I was always there on time. I never gave anybody a bad attitude. Only Brewster every once in a while.
Huh?
But if there were $15 an hour minimum wage jobs here in New Orleans, you would see so many of the minimum wage, you would see so many of the fast food workers and workers at jobs like that
lose their jobs because better workers would take them for that pay. So I can't believe the New York Times, who was a big proponent of the $15 an hour minimum wage for fast food workers and every other unskilled job, they're now scratching their heads saying, boy, the workers are now getting unfairly fired because the minimum wage has been raised to $15 an hour. I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I could have told you that when they were writing, here's why we need a $15 minimum wage. And if the people at the New York Times didn't know that, they have no right being the paper of record in the United States of America. Absolutely no right. So, no on both of those. No with $15 an hour minimum wage because you're hurting the workers that are already there. And no on lowering the voting age to 16. God, no. All right, coming up on the show, I'm going to tell you that this woman in Louisiana got arrested, and it had something to do with her animal. We'll explain coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Just reading, according to a new study, sleeping with the light on may cause obesity, especially if it's the refrigerator light. You got to watch out for that. Hey, Earl, we mentioned that if you're a fan of the TV show Seinfeld, that it was today, way back when it aired originally. Tonight was the episode where Kramer adopted a highway, and that was a pretty good one. Seinfeld is in the news again because the other night at a New Jersey Devils hockey game, the actor who played the character Putty not only showed up at the New Jersey Devils hockey game, but he showed up with the face paint on, just like he did in the episode of Seinfeld when he was rooting for the Devils, the New Jersey Devils.
Good sports team.
Yeah, when they asked him, why do you put the makeup on? Good sports team, man. The actor's name is David Warburton. And he's not just reliving his Seinfeld days. Well, I guess he is with the face paint. But he likes going to New Jersey Devils hockey games because he's from New Jersey. He's a native Jersey dude. And so he has shown up a couple times with his Devils jersey on and his face paint on. And he said the first time he did it, not that many people recognized him. But then he did it again, and he said a few more people recognized him. And because he did it a couple of times, you know what the New Jersey Devils did? They
put him on the kiss cam, I think, right?
No, they received a David Putty bobblehead doll.
Now that's cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
If you like the show Seinfeld, that's pretty cool. And that was so funny when his face was painted red and he had the devil shirt and he was walking down the street, walking past the priest at the red light in the car. And he's going, devils, devils, devils. And he looks in the car and the priest is like,
We should go on eBay and see if we can go in together and get one of those for the studio. A David Putty bobblehead.
Pretty cool if you're a fan of Seinfeld like you and I are, Brewster.
Because as you know, it feels like an Arby's night.
Mm. I'm not the one going to hell. All right, coming up next, I want to tell you this story that is a little bit disturbing. A woman had a very unique pet, and it made headlines around New Orleans. That's coming up next here on Bayou 95.7.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford.
I've got an update on the Jussie Smollett story, a story we've been following for a couple of weeks. He's the black gay actor who's on the TV show Empire, who lied to the world by saying that he was the victim of a homophobic, racist attack by two Trump lovers. That was a lie. And I we don't pat ourselves on the back here, but the day after the story came out, I questioned the story on this show. I said, really? You're telling me two Donald Trump lovers are walking around Chicago in the middle of a freezing cold night? One's holding a noose, the other's holding bleach, and they're racist and they're homophobes, and they just happen to run into a gay black guy? Boy, I mean, how many Trump supporters watch the show Empire, even know who he is? But anyways, and now it looks like, and they're saying one of the reasons he set this up is because he was mad that about a week before that, a letter was sent to the studio in Chicago where they do some of the filming of the show Empire. And it was one of those letters that you see kidnappers make, where they cut letters out of magazines and newspapers and they put sentences together with letters that way. And they called them a black bleep, and they called them, you know, the N-word. They called them the F-word for gay. And then on the return address of that envelope, it had MAGA. It stands for Make America Great Again. So he tried. Now the cops are saying he sent that. They believe he sent that letter to himself, and he's upset because that letter didn't get more publicity. That's why he hired the two Nigerians for the hoax to beat him up.
And apparently, somebody, I don't know if there's actual images of it, video or a photograph, but someone clearly says they saw him in an elevator with those two Nigerian brothers who are in on the whole thing.
Yeah, so there's no doubt about it. And by the way, Jussie Smollett, not only is his career over, you'll never see him on television again. He needs to do some prison time for this. He needs to do some prison time for telling the world, at least in his opinion, that Donald Trump supporters are racist, that they're homophobes, and by the way,
he won't do a day, but okay.
We'll see.
No, he won't.
And by the way, the media should be ashamed of themselves as well for running, especially CNN. This is America in 2019, insinuating that this is because Donald Trump is president. That this is, I mean, they should be ashamed of themselves.
We played the montage, audio montage from TV news reports where some reporters were just almost couldn't continue because they were so shaken by just saying the words. And again, the image, if it happened, it is horrible. But if it happens for real, not if it's staged.
So
they were just, it's just in hearing that audio again and thinking back on this, they just so much wanted it to be true because it fits the narrative. It fits the anti-Trump narrative. And that's a really sad commentary on so many news outlets in this country, in America in 2019. There, I said it.
Yeah, and even some of the celebrities, because Hollywood came out, the media came out, oh, this is awful, this is awful. Some of the celebrities are still saying, yeah, well, just because, you know, he might have made this up, that doesn't mean that Trump supporters aren't racist and homophobes and this and that. And it's like, really? Really? So the latest is that it looks like he sent that letter to himself. And because, you know, it didn't make national news, then he went out and doubled down. And now, I mean, that is a sick human being. That is a sociopath. That is someone, again, someone who's living the dream. As a black gay man in America 2019, he's living the dream. He's making piles of money. He's living in a nicer place than most people are living. He's got a dream job, yet he still needed to be the victim. Because here in 2019, you know, victims, they get put on pedestal. There was a time in our country where if something was done wrong to you, you didn't want to be a victim. You didn't want to be looked at as someone who was taken advantage of. You didn't want to be a victim. But this is a sick psychological mindset where even though he had a great life, he needed to be the victim. And now, and Brewster, I disagree with you. He's going to go to prison. Just like we have a deal, I think Kevin Spacey is going to do some prison time.
Still waiting.
Yeah, we are still waiting for that. I think Jussie Smollett is going to do some prison time. You know,
maybe they could work on a project together.
Did you see the lawyer he just hired, Smollett, yesterday?
Oh, please tell me it's not Gloria Allred.
Close. Mark Garagos.
Oh, boy.
Mark Garagos. It's the guy with the mustache. Mm-hmm. He defended the man who was convicted for killing Lacey Peterson, the 8-month pregnant woman, Scott Peterson, who's on death row. So I guess Jesse, you know, looked at that case. Well, he didn't win that one, but maybe he could still win my case. But he's that's who he is in talks with now to be his lawyer, because his latest lawyers, even a couple of days ago, they released a statement saying, don't believe what you hear. Jesse is still a victim. He was still a victim of a hate crime, a racist, homophobic hate crime. I mean, he's got lawyers now lying for him. And if I'm one of these lawyers, I don't care how much money he's paying them. I'm like, dude, it's up. You know, it's out in the open now. We all know. So, anyways, I just wanted to give you that Jesse Smollett update. And I wanted to tell you this story, too, because I saw this morning. This woman in Opelousas, Louisiana, got arrested. Woman arrested for animal cruelty after shooting her llama. Deputies there in Opelousas say that a couple of days ago, on February 15th, officers responded to a call in reference to an animal attacking its owner. The house they showed up at, Madeline Bourgeois' house, and she was working in her pasture with her pet llama. And that's when her pet llama attacked her. Madeline Bourgeois told deputies that she hit the llama repeatedly in an attempt to stop the attack. Once out of the gate, she was finally able to exit the pasture. But here's why that story is making news, because we would have hoped it would have ended there, but it didn't. Deputies say that's when Madeline Bourgeois went into her home, retrieved her gun, she returned to the pasture, and she shot the llama 3 times. Deputies arrived on the scene at the home, and they observed the injured llama, yeah, because it was shot 3 times, limping in the pasture. I know, it's sad, but I don't know. Animal control was contacted, took possession of the injured animal, and they x-rayed the injured llama, and sure enough, there were 3 bullets located in the llama. The animal was taken to the LSU Veterinary Clinic in Baton Rouge for evaluation. The fact, now listen to this, this is what the police say. This woman's going to be going to jail for this. And in my opinion, I think she should. Quote, according to the law, Madeline Bourgeois had every right to defend herself while being attacked, but was no longer in danger after escaping the pasture. Ms. Bourgeois retrieved a gun and then returned and shot the llama, which constitutes the charge of felony. Felony, not a misdemeanor. Felony cruel to animals. She should have called a vet or animal control. Or she could have called the cops and they would have made that phone call for assistance. It does not say in the story how the llama is doing. I would hope that, can you imagine if that llama survives and this woman is convicted of a felony and she goes to prison for putting 3 slugs in a llama that survived? But I agree. I agree. And she's 67 years old, this woman. Look, I don't know if I want her to die in prison, but this woman, much like Jesse Smollett, needs to do some prison time. She was out of harm's way. You know, that's just like if someone breaks into your house and you're in the shower and they're stealing something expensive from your house and they run out the front door and you come out of the shower because you hear something and they're running down the street and you grab your gun and you shoot them. Even though, in my opinion, I think you have the right to do that because they stole something out of your house. The police don't. The police say, no, the guy was gone. You should have called the cops. But in this in this case of the St. Landry Parish woman. I hope to have an update on this story. I'm going to follow this to see if she does end up doing any jail time, and I want to find out if the llama survived taking three shots from her owner, who was mad that the they were working in the pasture and the llama was getting a little physical with her. That's that. All right, coming up on the show, a code inspector in Jefferson Parish is in all kinds of trouble for turning his cheek when it comes to code inspecting codes. Well, if you hooked them up, we'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know, if you're a football fan, you look at what happened to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you look at their wide receiver, arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL over the last 5 or 6 years, Antonio Brown. What a piece of garbage as a person. What a piece of garbage. You know, he's the guy who, at the end of last season, when they needed to win their last game and they needed a little help from someone else to get into the playoffs, there was nothing wrong with him. He said, I'm not playing in the last game because because he's an egomaniac. He's a diva. That's what he is. And he didn't play, and the Steelers didn't make the playoffs. And now he's been tweeting, running around Florida, and he's just saying, get me out of here, get me out of here. He still has a contract that he signed that he won't play for, and now he's forcing the Steelers to trade him.
Well, he's also he's pretty much done. His heyday is over because he's on the cover of Madden 2019. And there's two curses. There's the Sports Illustrated curse, purportedly, and the Madden cover curse.
Well, there's no doubt about it. He's one of the greatest wide receivers who ever played. But he's also a scumbag as a person for doing that to his teammates, for doing that to the organization that took care of him so well. And now he's ripping Ben Roethlisberger. By the way, Ben Roethlisberger with his two Super Bowl rings, Antonio Brown, squadouche. He's ringless. He's got nothing. And it's so frustrating as someone who loves sports like I do to see a person do that to his team. Look what the running back for that team did to that team in that organization. He sat out the whole year. He was under contract to play, and he didn't play. And he sat out all year. And Le'Veon Bell, the running back, and somebody's going to sign him. But look at all the baggage. You know, as good as these guys are, look at the mental baggage you have to deal with these two prima donnas and these two divas. And, I hope no New Orleans Saints ever get that way. I really do.
I want to go back to talking about Madden 2019. You used to be a bit of a gamer. I'm going to get you back into that.
I did. I stopped playing video games.
I'm older. I'm 5 years older than you are, so... if you're hanging on to this thing, well, I'm too old to play video games. You're not doing anything anyway. You're going to go work part-time at McDonald's, you said.
Well, for $15 an hour, if they raise the minimum wage. I may start playing video games again. You're right.
But there are some interesting things about that with the licensing and who participates and who doesn't. I mean, the players make – it's probably like some sort of a pool that if they show up their names, their likenesses in the games, it's something through the players' organization that they get paid for. I'm sure Antonio Brown got a lot more than everyone else. But my point is, like, if you go, for example, and play Madden 2019, they have the head coach, the new head coach for the Colts, Frank Reich, in there. And you actually can play variations on Frank Reich's play calling. You could alter it a little bit. You could tweak it. Did you know if you play as the Patriots, you know who your coach is?
It's not Bill Belichick?
New England coach, which means he did not want to participate to allow the use of his name and his likeness. I think that's kind of crummy.
Wow, that is weird.
You know?
You know, a few years ago when you thought Madden couldn't get any better, but every year they get a little bit better. They tweak and they push and they pick and they get a little bit better.
I'll tell you what is also incredible and I think a little bit more fun is NBA Live 19 or whatever it is, or 2K19 Live. That is fun.
You told me you were playing the other night, and the announcer on your video game referenced something that happened the night before in real life.
There's actually a setting called NBA 2K19 today. And for example, Mrs. Brewster and I went to the Pelicans game where they played my beloved Indiana Pacers. Pacers won by 2 points. And in playing the game the next day, Kevin Harlan, hey, it's Kevin Harlan here for NBA 2K19 Live. And I just happened to played the Pacers against the Pelicans. And it's like, well, we're set to go here at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. Last night, the Pacers slipped by the Pelicans by 2 points.
Incredible how the game knew that happened in real life.
Now, obviously, Kevin Harlan has spent, and all the announcers, Doris, what's her name's on it?
Burke.
Doris Burke. They have the TNT halftime show with Ernie Johnson and Shaq and Kenny Smith.
Kenny the Jet.
They obviously have these things already in the can, but just for the game to seamlessly put them together, they didn't used to be back in the days of Sega Genesis and the PlayStation 1. They weren't nearly so seamless, and they kind of said the same things over and over. But then I played a game against the Lakers, and they're like, "Well, joining us here in the booth is Kobe Bryant." They talked to Kobe Bryant for like 5 minutes. And it was just as if you were watching the broadcast.
It's incredible.
Unbelievable.
The technology. It's absolutely incredible. And how just when you think it can't get any better, it gets a little bit better each and every year. And Brewster, I may listen to you. I may go back to playing video games. We'll see. Because I stopped playing probably, maybe 8 or 9 years ago I stopped playing. I said, because there's other things in my life I should be doing instead of playing these video games.
No, there's not.
I'm starting to think you might be
We
right.
have no evidence that there's anything else in your life.
I don't... Gotta go.
You're high maintenance.
Jesus. All right. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. Stay tuned here on Bayou 95.7. That's just about going to do it for the show tonight. Thanks for listening. And coming up next, it's Ginty, Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.